couldn't hold it, my brother. I don't care how many locks you put on it. The jail couldn't hold it because he's a righteous man of God. You can't hold no righteous man down. Somebody that walking in the spirit of God, you can't stop them. They boiled John. Same one we talking about. Didn't kill him in hot oil. They put him on the Isle of Patmos for him to die. He didn't die. Now watch what happened to him. Then God say, okay. See, John? Uh-huh. Yes, the Lord. Say, boy, go sit down. Go to sleep. The Lord woke him up. Gave him a vision.
What'd you say?
Say, John, let me show you something. I'm going to show you from the beginning to the end of time.
Yes. Yes.
No human being has ever seen this in the history of this world. And he showed it to John. Watch me now. When he showed it to John, he told John, said, John, what you see and what you hear, write it in a book and send it to the seven churches at Asia Minor. Send it to them churches. And now all them churches wasn't in the will of God. I think that was one. Philadelphia was close, closer than they had. But hear me good. We get close sometimes. We get close to God sometimes, but it ain't what you need to be. You got to keep on and do it like God say, do it, not like you want to do it. I tell people all the time, it ain't what you feel, what you think, it's what God says. And I stay on that. When I meet people, they say, well, Reb, what you think? I say, I have no thoughts. Let the word speak for itself. Because if I think I'm going to mess somebody up, somebody going to disagree with me, going to get mad with me, and I don't know they're mad with me, and by them getting mad with me and don't come and be reconciled with me, might go to hell. Y'all don't hear me. There's a possibility that they're going to hell because they got hot with me and mad with me and wouldn't come tell me they was mad with me so we can be reconciled. They headed straight to that city called hell. Can I just tell you what the Bible say, huh? There's peace in God, in Jesus. He said here, 46 verse, we're almost through. 46 verse said, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you still don't believe me? Y'all can't prove that I sin. You can't even prove me that I've sinned. Ain't no record, no evidence, or nothing to prove that I've done something wrong. When you bring an order against a brother, you got to have, the Bible says, have two or three witnesses that seen it on the spot, not for somebody to call you on the telephone and told you, don't you believe that ignorance said. Believe what you see with your eye, but you got to have two to three witnesses. We don't even live by that no more. You find one man in a fault, and it's all over the telephone, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, whatever, it's all over the world. Instead of us as Christians, like Christ say do, look, take them in a corner. Show them they fault. Show them the scripture. They won't be offended because it's in the book. See, if they get offended with you, that means they ain't of God. And we finna get there in a minute. We're going to close with some powerful stuff. So what we got to do it God's way. If you don't do it God's way, we're going to be condemned. We're going to be condemned. It says here in 46, I have a reference scripture from John, 5th chapter of John, 19:20 verse. It says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, y'all hear me this day, these also does the Son likewise. Did you hear that? Whatever daddy do, I do. It ain't from me. He went on to say, for the Father loves the Son and showeth him all things. That's God now. That he himself do it. And he will show him greater works than thee that you may marvel. Good God Almighty Jesus. How on God's earth can we rebuke something that great? How come I come with an opinion and you up here teaching what the word say, line on line, precept by precept, and you repudiate it? How could you do that and tell me you got God in you? You're looking at it like I'm looking, and yet and still you got God in you, and you want to kill me for what I preach or what I teach. You don't want me around no more because I'm stoned in your flesh because of the truth that lies here before us. In that last verse, and I thank God, anybody got no gun in here, huh? The last verse, Jesus help me. It says, no, I better not read. I want somebody, give me a stand up, good loud reader, stand up. I'm going to let you read it so nobody say, rap your lies. I want somebody with a good strong voice, stand up and read that 47th verse. Please, stand up and read it. It's out of Jesus' mouth, but I want you to read it. I don't want to read it. Somebody going to have something to say about it. Come on, go ahead.
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m., our morning worship service at 11 a.m., Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you and may God bless you.
I'd like to talk to you this evening. I'd like to talk.
Thank you for tuning in
to
the radio ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer, located in Leesville, Louisiana.
Not going quite so
the
well.
Place where the Spirit and anointing, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
like
abides in
up.
Abundance. The Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer is located at 1100 Nona Street at the intersection of Nona and Verona. And now, to our general overseer and founder with an anointed sermon already in progress, Bishop Elbert Mulgrew.
Going on, yeah.
Y'all to give honor unto the man of God. Hey, yes, hallelujah. With no further delay, I introduce to some and present to others the pastor, the overseer of the Church of Jesus Christ House of Prayer, Bishop Elbert Mulgrew. Let's do a holy hand clap. Say hallelujah.
Let's say amen. Let the church say amen. We thank the Lord tonight for the move of the Holy Ghost. First, give an honor to him. You may be seated. And we want you to turn to the book of Matthew, third chapter. And we're going to begin reading at the first verse. The word of the Lord says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, his esteem for his message, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went on to say that, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins. And his diet was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea in all the regions and round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I, he says, indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We want to now go to the book of Luke. Is this all right if I take my time? All right, I want to take my time. Luke 13 chapter. And we're going to begin here at the sixth verse. Jesus speaking. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if it not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. We want to go on back to the book of Isaiah. Can the church say amen? I believe it's going to be all right. I can't preach, but Jesus can. Amen. I'm just giving the word. I might be able to sit down. I don't know. Amen. Isaiah 59. Now the last two verses. Verse 1 through 2. The word says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he, God, will not hear you. Father, again, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Father, I ask right now that you will bless us tonight. God, that you will save. God, that you will bring back those that are far off from you at this time. And Father, as we pray this prayer again of faith, we believe it's done in your precious name. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap. Glory to God. Amen. We thank the Lord for his Holy Ghost, and we thank God for the move of God that we've had here tonight. But God is crying out for the lost. He's crying out tonight for the backsliders. And the Bible tells me that and when we look into the Word of God, that this is the last days. And we can see it by the signs that God has given to us. The Bible says in the last days that his people would wander away. And we can see that in our church. And we can see it in the neighborhood. We can see that we can't walk the streets without someone wanting to shoot us. Or we can't walk the street without in safety anymore. Every time you look on the TV or look on the radio, somebody went into somebody's house and killed them. Nowhere you go is there any safety. But you know, we go back to the days of Noah. The Bible says that God began to tell the people through Noah, and he preached for an X number of years that Jesus was coming back and that there was going to be a rain. But see, because of unbelief, they could not enter in. One of the reasons that, see, the thing about the Word of God is just looks like a fairy tale to the unbeliever. Everybody got some type of doctrine, say ain't no hell. But we have looked into the Bible tonight, and the Bible sure as he said, there is a hell. God is soon to come back, and he said those that don't have no fruit on their tree, he's going to cut the tree down, and he's cutting the tree down at this time. We look in the church, there was folks in the church 6 years ago, and they're not here anymore. You know why? Because God said the axe has been laid to the tree that will not bear any fruit. Do you hear what we're saying tonight? Now the Bible began to speak to us through the words that we read tonight. Some of us on borrowed time right now. God wants to cut somebody down now. But he says God is always a merciful God. Is that correct? Then that parable that Jesus was going to talk to us tonight is that he went, we remember one day he was walking with the apostles, the disciples. Is that correct? And Jesus looked and seen a tree and there was no fruit. Say he was hungry that morning. And God is thirsty and hungry for your soul today. And the devil is too. But you need to keep on marching, saint, because whichever you yield your members to, the Bible says that's the one you're going to serve. This thing is two-sided. You can have the side that you want. It's time out for fornication. It's time out for adultery. It's time out for lying. It's time for you to get on the Holy Ghost train to heaven tonight. That's why Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Sometimes holiness is a dirty word. We see every type of incident you can see in holiness churches. But it's time to put the devil under your feet. That's what Jesus said. We have the power to stomp Satan and put him under our feet. But what are we doing tonight, saints? The Bible says in these last days, some would depart from the faith, giving heed to what kind of spirits? Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. Satan is moving like he's never moved before. Some of us, the Bible told us to take up our cross and follow me. And God knows that some of us is having heavy burdens tonight. Some of us got some heavy crosses that we're carrying tonight. And I want you to know that Jesus sees your work. He sees that what you're going through. And Jesus wants to relieve some of us tonight. See, when we look at Jesus, the day he was going up to Calvary, the Bible said he was carrying his cross. And that's what some of us tonight, we just don't want to carry the cross. See, even Jesus, when he was carrying his cross, the Bible says, we look in the book of Isaiah that the Bible said he was bruised for our iniquities. He knew he had to do it. He was chastised for our sins. But let's look at this thing. Suppose Jesus had a backsliding spirit like some of us. There wouldn't be no hope tonight. There wouldn't be any hope for us tonight if he decided, once they put the whip to him. And see, Isaiah had already prophesied that he was going to be chastised. But suppose he decided to do like some of us. I ain't got to take this no more. I ain't got to take no rebuke from my pastor. I can do better than this. Who do he think he is? Suppose Jesus said, I don't have to go through all of this. But he told us to do what? Take up our cross and follow. He didn't tell you to get up and be nailed to a tree. But these suffering that we have is a suffering way. But no, that's the point here with God's people. We, our flesh gets cut up, and we can't stand the flesh. We can't take nothing, but we're gonna have to take up the cross. When that pastor tell you it's time for you to shape up, we're gonna have to get to the altar. And that's what the Bible tells me that Jesus did on the night before he went to the cross. He went to the altar. He began to cry out. He began to cry out. And that's the way the saints gonna have to do when the trouble and that wife is cutting up, that husband is cutting up, what he don't want to do, go to the cross, go to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells me that Jesus began to pray so much that night that the water coming off of his face and out of his body was just sticky like a blood. Do you hear what we're saying here tonight? God is calling somebody back tonight. The Bible tells me he's married to the backslider. He said he's married to the backslider. But he said he's going to divorce somebody if they don't come back. Do you hear what we're saying tonight? Yes, Jesus loves you. He came out and paid the price for you. But you know what? Sometimes saints, they believe the flesh puffs, the devil uses your flesh and puff you up. Sometimes the devil tell you that you're too big for this church or that church. And we want to pull up our stakes. But you know, God, although he died and he loved us, but he turned around and told us in the word that we are just like a piece of grass. Amen. Do you hear what we're saying? Sometimes flesh will get puffed up, and you thank you somebody. Sometimes we arrive up and we want to tell the bishop, we want to tell our pastor, I know more than you. But God says that's why he said in Jeremiah that he was giving us pastors. According to his heart, not according to your flesh. He didn't say he gave you a pastor, but say amen to you. He said he would give you the pastor that you need. So many sheep, I'm transferring, I'm going over down to the river, I'm going over to Louisiana, Lake Charles. And sometimes that's where we mess up. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be where God wants me to be. So we look at this. Is this all right tonight? We want to, you know what God is trying to tell us tonight? To re-examine yourself. Re-examine yourself tonight. We need again tonight, if the Lord is trying to tell us to get our priorities in order tonight. You see, he said we would either love one or the other. What side are you on tonight? Are you on the Lord's side tonight? Stand up tonight if you're on the Lord's side. Amen. God is telling us tonight. And he wants to do something here tonight. I don't know what he wants to do. And I'm not here to prolong your time or God's time. But God is calling someone up here for a rededication. And he's calling you right now. And you know, we don't know the hour and the time that Jesus is coming back. But he says that the sun rises from the east and it goes to the west. It does that every day. Is that right? He says, so shall the son of a man come in that way. You know, they tell me, I don't know how true it is. They claim they bury people in the graveyard. That when Jesus come up out of the east, that they're going to rise and look at him in the face. I don't know if that's true or not. But I know some of them ain't going to rise when Jesus come back to the clouds. Sadly, some of us are going to go into the grave. And so God, you see, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. But some of us going into the grave, and whatsoever way you go down in the grave, that's the way you're going to rise. The Bible tells me in the book of Revelation that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And he says the other one's going to rise 1,000 years later. And that is the resurrection of those folks will be into damnation. But we want to make the first resurrection. Now everybody's, a lot of folks are preaching a lot of things. But I want to make the first resurrection. Everybody come, there's some people preaching that we got to get out of here for tribulation. But we're living in tribulations right now. Amen. If I was going to wait and give my neck to Christ, to Christ in the tribulation, I might as well wait and see and do everything I got to do. Somebody give me the scripture there in the book of Revelation. One of my men of God. Blessed is, holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. So everybody that's holy going to have part blessed. They're going to be blessed because they're going to have part in the first resurrection. Anybody got it? Come on with it. Come on.
Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection.
Why?
On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
They're going to be with Jesus in heaven for 1,000 years. And after that, we're going to have another resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to be in the first one. Blessed and holy. The key to it is the Holy Ghost. Can't be holy without the Holy Ghost. Trying to get somebody's attention. Bible tells me that the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same spirit that's going to get us out the grave. Without the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to have no power to get out of that grave. Everybody got all types of insurance policy, but the biggest insurance you can get purchased tonight, and it's free, and that's the Holy Ghost. Can the church say amen? Will there be one tonight? Would there be one tonight want to reconsider the way you've been living? Would there be one that want to rededicate their lives to God? Would you come?
I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Will there be one tonight?
I give you my mind. I surrender.
Well, we're going to go another route. And you still have time. Will there be one here tonight that need deliverance? Come on up. Will there be one? Come on up, somebody that assisted this.
I surrender, girl. I'll give you my heart.
The devil tried to attack this sister before, as soon as she came into church.
I'll give you.
How many knows that the devil's mad when you come to church? He don't
I'll
like it.
I'll give you my mind. And I surrender.
I'll give you my
You believe God's able to do this? Raise your hands. He's going to set you free
I'll
tonight.
Give you my,
thank God. I want you to
give
put all of
soul. I'll give you my mind.
give you my mind.